Lesson 14. Speech. 1. Part A. Listen, write, and speak.
Exercise 1. Listen to the speech twice and choose the best answer to complete the following.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. Ladies and gentlemen, it's my understanding I'm to speak on San Francisco's China connection. And let's talk for a few minutes about how that China connection took place. San Francisco, geographically and port-wise, business-wise, financially, is America's gateway city to the Pacific Rim nations. And yet we have a port that had been, over the past decade, steadily going downhill. A port which 10 years ago had 60,000 blue-collar jobs. A port which has lost most of its cargo to other areas. A port which last year handled 2.5 million short tons of cargo, but has the capacity to handle 5 million short tons of cargo. And so it was with some of these statistics about our city in mind that we looked at what could be done with America's recognition of the People's Republic of China. Also, my first day in office, I had the pleasure of giving the first key to the city to the ambassador of the People's Republic of China, Ambassador Chai Si-min, who was visiting San Francisco on his way to Washington. We visited with Ambassador Chai at the embassy in Washington and made known to him our interest in securing for San Francisco one of the consular locations. We pointed out to him that we have the largest number of Chinese anywhere in the world outside of Asia. We pointed out to him that San Francisco was, in fact, the business and corporate headquarters of the Western Seaboard. And we pointed out to him our interest in making San Francisco the gateway city to China. And we were very pleased when we learned that we had, in effect, bumped another city that was under consideration to become one of two consular locations for the People's Republic of China. And that more or less began our relationship.
Now, listen again.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. Ladies and gentlemen, it's my understanding I'm to speak on San Francisco's China connection. And let's talk for a few minutes about how that China connection took place. San Francisco, geographically and port-wise, business-wise, financially, is America's gateway city to the Pacific Rim nations. And yet we have a port that had been, over the past decade, steadily going downhill. A port which 10 years ago had 60,000 blue-collar jobs. A port which has lost most of its cargo to other areas. A port which last year handled 2.5 million short tons of cargo, but has the capacity to handle 5 million short tons of cargo. And so it was with some of these statistics about our city in mind that we looked at what could be done with America's recognition of the People's Republic of China. Also, my first day in office, I had the pleasure of giving the first key to the city to the ambassador of the People's Republic of China, Ambassador Chai Si-min, who was visiting San Francisco on his way to Washington. We visited with Ambassador Chai at the embassy in Washington and made known to him our interest in securing for San Francisco one of the consular locations. We pointed out to him that we have the largest number of Chinese anywhere in the world outside of Asia. We pointed out to him that San Francisco was, in fact, the business and corporate headquarters of the Western Seaboard. And we pointed out to him our interest in making San Francisco the gateway city to China. And we were very pleased when we learned that we had, in effect, bumped another city that was under consideration to become one of two consular locations for the People's Republic of China. And that more or less began our relationship.
Exercise 2. Listen to the speech again and decide whether the statements you hear are true or false. Write T or F in the brackets.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. Ladies and gentlemen, it's my understanding I'm to speak on San Francisco's China connection. And let's talk for a few minutes about how that China connection took place. San Francisco, geographically and port-wise, business-wise, financially, is America's gateway city to the Pacific Rim nations. And yet we have a port that had been, over the past decade, steadily going downhill. A port which 10 years ago had 60,000 blue-collar jobs. A port which has lost most of its cargo to other areas. A port which last year handled 2.5 million short tons of cargo, but has the capacity to handle 5 million short tons of cargo. And so it was with some of these statistics about our city in mind that we looked at what could be done with America's recognition of the People's Republic of China. Also, my first day in office, I had the pleasure of giving the first key to the city to the ambassador of the People's Republic of China, Ambassador Chai Si-min, who was visiting San Francisco on his way to Washington. We visited with Ambassador Chai at the embassy in Washington and made known to him our interest in securing for San Francisco one of the consular locations. We pointed out to him that we have the largest number of Chinese anywhere in the world outside of Asia. We pointed out to him that San Francisco was, in fact, the business and corporate headquarters of the Western Seaboard. And we pointed out to him our interest in making San Francisco the gateway city to China. And we were very pleased when we learned that we had, in effect, bumped another city that was under consideration to become one of two consular locations for the People's Republic of China. And that more or less began our relationship.
Number one, the speaker gave a brief account of San Francisco's present economic situation.
Number two, San Francisco used to have 16,000 blue-collar jobs.
Number three, the city port lost most of its cargo to other areas.
Number four, most of the port's capacity was not in use.
Number five, the San Francisco-China connection helped normalize relations between China and the USA.
Number six, the speaker told the Chinese ambassador that San Francisco was trying to become a consulate location for China.
Number seven, she told the ambassador that San Francisco was the business center of her country.
Number eight, she said that San Francisco would like to open its door to China.
Number nine, she told the ambassador that there are more overseas Chinese living in San Francisco than in any other U.S. cities.
Number 10. Two U.S. cities offered to become consulate locations for China.
Part B. Listen and relax.
Directions. You are going to hear the song, Sailing. Listen to the song and sing along.
Across the sea,
Part C. Further listening.
Directions. You're going to hear a short passage. It will be read just once. Listen carefully and choose the best answer to each question you hear. The Golden Gate Bridge joins the beautiful city of San Francisco with its suburbs to the north. Each day, about 100,000 cars cross the bridge, taking people to and from the city. More than half of them cross the bridge during the morning and evening rush hours. As a result, the trip is not pleasant. Now, however, there is at least one group of happy commuters. These are the people who travel under the bridge instead of on it. They go to work by boat and enjoy it so much that most of them say they will never go by car again. The boat they take is a large, quiet, comfortable Golden Gate. Commuters can enjoy the sun on the boat. In the morning, they can have breakfast in the coffee shop. And in the evening, they can have a drink in the bar while they are looking at San Francisco's famous scene and the nearby hills. The trip takes only 30 minutes and is not very expensive. But best of all, being on a boat seems to make people feel more friendly towards each other. Two commuters who met on the Golden Gate have already got married. Because the boat has been so successful, there are plans to use other, still larger boats. There is also a plan for a high-speed boat that will make the trip in only 15 minutes. Not everyone is happy about that. A lot of people don't want to get the trip faster, said one commuter. They feel that half an hour is just enough time to rest.
Question number one. How many cars cross the Golden Gate Bridge during rush hours every day? Question number two. Why is crossing the bridge by car unpleasant? Question number three. What seems to be the main advantage of traveling by boat, according to the passage? Question number four. Why do many people object to the new plan for a high-speed boat? Question number five. What can we learn from the passage?
This is the end of Lesson 14.